Estimates vary as to just how much crude oil continues to spill from the Deepwater Horizon rig into the Gulf and onto the beaches of Louisiana, Alabama, and Florida, but it's apparent now that the amount is in the hundreds of thousands of barrels. And now the task of assessing the current and future damage that could be caused by that spill has begun. Where will the oil go, and how damaging an impact will it have? Scientists operating in the little-known field of environmental forensics use a process called chemical fingerprinting to predict and measure the future damage of an oil spill. And in the first of today's underreported segments, we'll look into what that science of spill assessment means. I'm pleased to welcome to our show Dr. Merv Fingus, the former chief of the Emergency Science Division of Environment Canada and a leader in the field of environmental forensics, to our show. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Can you briefly explain to us what chemical fingerprinting is?
Chemical fingerprinting is matching certain chemical characteristics in oil to a known standard or to a suspected standard. Just for example, it's almost like matching scratches in a gun barrel when forensic people look at bullets and where they come from. So some of the same sort of techniques used to be used, and now they're becoming much more chemical and perhaps much more mathematical.
So would every oil spill have a unique fingerprint? Wouldn't two from the same oil field be the same chemically?
Basically, yes. That's a simplified answer. All oil spills have a certain uniqueness to them, or oil from a certain strata or a certain oil well can be considered unique. However, if you consider, let's say, an oil well over a period of time, it will change somewhat. But still, its chemical signature will be much more unique than even a neighboring well, and definitely much more than a crude oil from a, let's say, distant well, let's say, comparing a well from the Gulf of Mexico to one from Saudi Arabia would be a completely different signature.
Mm-hmm. When did this field come into existence?
Well, the field came into existence actually about 40 or more years ago, and I should say its origin was partly derived from those folks who studied the oil chemistry for refinery purposes. They discovered fairly quickly that if they did some very simple chemical analysis, which are called gas chromatography, that different wells had different patterns, and they could start looking at the different patterns to distinguish well contents in pipelines, for example.
And I would assume it's also a way of determining whether crude oil from one area is more easily refined than crude oil from another area.
Well, perhaps. People use physical measures for that. For example, distillation data, simple density, viscosity is probably a better indicator than chemical fingerprinting data. Chemical fingerprinting data has largely been used over the years in all aspects for really determining the source of a particular oil.
Does it change? Because over the last 40 years or so, we've gone mostly from oil drilling on the surface to now deep water rigs of the sort that exploded.
Well, perhaps, but that hasn't changed oil fingerprinting in itself. Over the 40 years, oil fingerprinting has advanced very much from comparing simple analytical output signatures to quantifying as many as 400 or 500 compounds in the oil and comparing the levels of those compounds.
So when we determine the fingerprint, then what's the next step? Is this a matter of is that a way of determining the environmental impact of the spill?
Not so much as determining, again, the source or the nature of a spill. And there are many different uses of fingerprinting. Probably the most common use is to determine the source. for example, an unknown spill, let's say, which would occur quite frequently along shipping lanes, one would take samples from that spill and then take samples from any vessel that had crossed that area in the past 24, 48 hours, and then compare those, and inevitably you'll find one pattern that matches almost identically to one ship source. So that's identification of unknown. The other application is, in spills, there's often two confounding signatures. One is background signature. For example, if we had a spill recently out here in a lake which had a lot of coal on the shore, if you sample in such a way as to pick up a lot of that coal, it changes the oil signature quite a bit. So you have to subtract that background, as it were, to actually look at the specific signature. So you want to take a look at to see how much of the background influences the current signature. Also, like in the Gulf spill right here, there's tar balls that come ashore ahead of where the main spill comes. For example, 2 weeks ago in Florida, tar balls started coming ashore. So naturally, they did a chemical fingerprinting on that to ensure that it really was from the same spill, to see if the spill is indeed moving in that direction.
The identifier is called a biomarker?
Well, there are several identifiers used. Some are biomarkers. There's about six families of biomarkers used. Historically, people also use the PAHs, or polyaromatic hydrocarbons, and they're not a very reliable signature, and these days have been relegated to the role of a backup or a ancillary signature. Much before that, people simply looked at the gas chromatograph drawing that resulted in injecting a sample of that oil into the gas chromatograph, and would match those just like you would match, you know, stripes on a rifle and bullet as an example of forensics. So we have advanced, very much so that we sometimes now can have a set of six or eight different matches.
My guest is Dr. Mer Fingas, former chief of the Emergency Science Division of Environmental Canada, leader in the field of environmental forensics. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. I would assume that this isn't necessary when you know the source of the spill, for example, the Exxon Valdez spill, or in the most current case, in the Gulf of Mexico, pretty much all the oil we are seeing would have come from this explosion, wouldn't it?
Perhaps. Like I noted on the front of such a spill, for example, as it starts hitting parts of Florida, you want to be certain that it really is from that spill, as opposed to perhaps some vessel dumping its bilge waters illicitly. So that's when used during a known spill. Mm-hmm. The other cases, for example, during the Exxon Valdez, there is a fair amount of background signature resulting from coal and also from oil seepage coming down some rivers. So that during subsequent analysis, and I'm talking up to 10, 20 years after, those samples had to be fingerprinted to ensure that we are not looking at a background signature as opposed to the oil resulting from the spill itself.
Now, I did hear that there were some ships that were using the spill, the BP spill, as an excuse to get rid of stuff that they had. And can this be used to determine just who is culpable in each case, or would that just be too much work for people in the field?
It might be too much work, but this technique has been used extensively in several spills that I know of to determine exactly that. And those vessels using this spill as an excuse to dump their oily waste. And But I'm sure that at least some of these folks will be caught doing that because of the use of forensics.
A listener, Anita from Manhattan, says she hasn't heard anything about the spill's effect on Mexico. Do you know how Mexico is faring? Are the water currents not bringing the spill toward Mexico?
Well, as I understand, no, and I'm not really an expert in that, but from all the reports that I'm reading, it would appear to be unlikely that at least in the near future that it would hit Mexico.
Has there been any chemical fingerprinting done that looks at the effect of oil slicks at lower levels in the ocean, like these plumes that we've been hearing so much about?
Well, not historically very much. There has been some on what I call just slightly submerged or overwashed oil, and that was certainly an issue in a couple of spills, but never at such depths such as like 1 mile below the water here.
Have there been any similar cases that might help us understand what will happen in the Gulf?
Well, absolutely. The most common case that's cited is the Ishtok blowout, which occurred about 1979 and resulted in a lot of submerged oil, a lot of mystery plumes that broke up into tar balls and are still apparently depositing on beaches as far away as Texas at this time.
So we're talking about something that happened in the 70s, and we're still seeing the effects of it today?
Well, apparently, I haven't analyzed any of these oils myself, so I can't certify this, but these are what some of the reports are saying.
That doesn't bode well for the current situation. We can only imagine how many years this incredible spill is going to be affecting the area.
It will be a while.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Dr. Merv Fingus, who is the former chief of the Emergency Science Division of Environmental Canada, leader in the field of environmental forensics.
Okay, thank you.